Hey everyone, welcome to Sunny Commutes, a podcast where I combine the worlds of web development and business and share my experiences. This is episode 53, where I'll be talking about building APIs. So I'll be explaining what APIs are and how I've been building one recently with Node.js. So I start off with the cool thingy of the week that I think you should check out. It's basically just this unrelated tidbit that I want to share, something I think is pretty cool, so you should check it out. So I watched a movie called Fahrenheit 451, or Fahrenheit 451, I'm not sure how you say that. So a couple of cool things about it. It's on HBO, by the way. But the main actor actually is the villain from Black Panther. Hence the shirt that I got on right now. If you're not watching the video and you're listening to the audio, I'm wearing a Black Panther t-shirt. But it's an interesting concept for a movie. It's based on a book. And the ironic part is that the movie is about burning books. So essentially the government wants to take over or create like a utopian kind of society where there's no philosophy, there's no like, there's no books for you to wonder about, like, you know, what's the right answer to a certain question. The government kind of tells you outright what the answer would be. So they'll lie about certain things, and there's a lot of complex things that go on, and it's a decent movie. I wouldn't say it's great, but I did enjoy watching it. So, you know, don't let my description tell you how good the movie is. I'd rather you watch the trailer at least. But the actor, I think it's really interesting to see what kind of movies he'll play in. I haven't really seen him in other movies besides Black Panther and Fahrenheit 451, so it's quite interesting to see what kind of roles he'll play, because I really like him for the types of characters that he does play. So let's get on to talking about APIs. So for anyone that's unfamiliar, let me first explain what APIs are and why you might want to use them or build one yourself. So API stands for Application Programming Interface, and it's essentially a way for different applications to talk to one another and access each other's data. So a quick example would be the Twitter API. So Twitter, you know, people post tweets and their search functionality and different things. Maybe you want to be able to log in with a Twitter account in a different application or access certain tweets. So an API would allow you to do that. So Twitter offers that through the Twitter API, and you can, you know, have people log in with Twitter, access their tweets, maybe be able to do a search on certain phrases. So depending on the type of application you might want to build, maybe you want to integrate Twitter into your current application, or you're building a whole new app and it's centered around Twitter. And that's just a simple example. You might want to, you know, there's many different APIs that you might want to use, but it's essentially a way for an application or a service to say, here's an official way for others to access our data. And that gives them a lot more control in terms of, you know, there's bad, you know, people on the internet that might want to steal certain data or shut a service down by, you know, hitting it with a bunch of requests. So by having an API, you can kind of say, okay, here's the way that we expect people to access our data. And through that, we can do some rate limiting. You can, you know, block certain users that are trying to access the API. And, you know, why would you want to use like an API in compared to like other techniques? Because there's one other popular technique for accessing a service's data, and that is through web crawling. So this is like, I guess, kind of an unofficial API or way to access a website's data. And essentially what you do is something similar to what Google does when they crawl the web and find links to show in their search results. So what you have is just a machine, a bot, crawl a website, and that website will browse the source code of that site, grab the pieces of data that it needs, and then stores it, you know, in its own database or does whatever it wants with it. And this is an unofficial way things can potentially break if you're relying on web crawling because the source code can change. So an API is like an official way so you can be guaranteed that, you know, through versioning and through official documentation of how that data is going to be represented, you can know for sure, okay, you know, unless the service goes down or unless the API goes down, this is how I'll be accessing the data, and I can guarantee that it's going to be available. Now, web crawling is, you know, perfectly fine way to access data sometimes. Sometimes you have to do it this way. For example, Google, that's what they do. Facebook does this as well when they need to grab certain metadata information when you post a link. But for the most part, it's not a very, I guess, safe way or dependable way for you to access a service's or application's data. So that's why you might want to use an API, simply just access data from a third-party service. So now let's get to talking about building APIs. And I want to kind of share a little bit of my background first in terms of backend languages. Typically, or actually you have to use a backend language. So, you know, there's front-end languages like HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And you can't really build an API through those. I mean, I guess, you know, you're not really accessing a database or anything. I guess you could offer like a JSON file, but for the most part, you're going to be building an API with a backend language. These is your, you know, your Python, your Java, your PHP, JavaScript through Node.js, and different things like that. So for me, I've been building not necessarily APIs, but just like dynamic websites with PHP for a very long time, for, you know, a couple of years. Basically, you know, I started out with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, but then when I learned about PHP, which is a backend programming language, and learned how you can easily just make a website dynamic, the idea, and this is like pretty new at the time, but the idea of like having common parts of your website, you can easily just store those in a single file. It's like a header or a footer, and then you can share those within your multiple pages in your site. And PHP allowed you to do this really easily. So it's like a templating language. Granted, now we have things like static site generators and multitudes of templating systems, but PHP was kind of a revolutionary in what it did and how easy it did, because a lot of servers just had PHP, so it was really easy to get up and running. And of course, you could use PHP to access a database, have like a login system. You know, users could create accounts and stuff. So I went to creating a lot of just very kind of rich applications. I've built a bunch of social networks, actually. I've tried to clone like Twitter, tried to build a niche networks for like developers and stuff. So I definitely used PHP for a long time to build multiple types of websites. And then I, you know, first that was like just purely in PHP, but then I came across a framework called Laravel, which is a PHP framework that allows you to build web applications very quickly. And you can think of it like Ruby on Rails. So Ruby on Rails is a framework similar to Laravel, but it's built in Ruby, and it came before Laravel. But Laravel is essentially, I like to think, the Ruby on Rails for PHP. So depending on, you know, what language you might be using, you know, Laravel for PHP is something that I think is really good to consider. And it was a really great framework, honestly. Now, obviously, I've switched recently to using Node, and I'll explain kind of why I'm making that switch. But regardless, I think that Laravel is still a really great framework. A lot of big websites still use it. Now, while I don't think it's perfect for APIs, because it's really initially was built for monolithic type applications where you don't really have an API, you're just kind of accessing the database directly, and then you're rendering views with that data. So it's kind of like server-side rendering, but you're not really abstracting logic separately. So the other great thing about Laravel, though, is that so it's not great for APIs, but the main thing about it that I think is really beneficial is for MVPs and for startups. So if you really need to get up and running quickly, Laravel kind of had a lot of common things that websites had built in. So most websites, you need authentication. You need users to be able to sign in either through social or just creating an account with your email, then be able to sign in and keep their session and stuff. Laravel had that built in, and it kind of integrated throughout the framework as well. Kind of came with like a users table, password resets and stuff like that. So there was that, and then there's like other common things you might want to do, like storing files, whether that be in the file system or in like Amazon S3, and I don't know, like payments, that it had that built in. So that integration with like Stripe and Braintree. And a lot of these things are just like things that you don't want to build over and over. And so Laravel did a really good job of being more of a web framework instead of just, oh, here's a easy way to like, build like a simple CRUD application, which is like create, read, update, delete. It had more like services built in that you commonly would have to code yourself, but made it easy just by having it built in. And I also want to like shout out to the creator of Laravel, because I feel like I learned a lot of kind of good techniques about programming, about building services in general, in terms of just being realistic. There's frameworks that are kind of just, they let you build certain things pretty easily, but they don't consider the real world scenarios which a business would expect. So payments and storage and authentication. And he even built like a starter project on top of Laravel that like would essentially take you to like from step one to step two in building like software as a service. So it would have automatic like subscription billing, allowing users to view their invoices and stuff they'd have to build manually, even with Laravel. It kind of assumed a lot of things, but it would allow you to build very quickly. So Taylor Otwell, I was kind of very I was very like ingrained in the Laravel community, so I followed a lot of stuff that he did, and his kind of thought processes on building certain things on the web, and his ideas with Laravel and things like that. So I still think, it's a really great framework and I still recommend it, but there are really two main reasons why I've switched. The first I already kind of stated, Laravel wasn't really great for APIs. Now they might have improved and they were improving when I was still using it, but I think there are better solutions for building specifically just APIs. So I wanted a framework that was not bloated. I didn't want to have like an MVC where you had typical like HTML views and stuff. Instead, I just want like purely just interact with the database and just return JSON data. The second thing is I want to aim for like this universal JavaScript approach to building anything. So with building like a software as a service or a web app, you have a front end, which is going to be JavaScript, but then your backend can be any language. Now, when you have a single developer like myself that's trying to build it, which can be good and bad, obviously, it's good to have a team, and typically I will work with other people, but I think there's definitely a lot of power in being able to not depend on anyone and kind of just focus on just getting things done and being able to be, full stack developer so you can build both the front end and the back end. And so that's really my main goal, is that I want there to be less of a cognitive switch between, different languages. So when I'm jumping between the front end, which is in JavaScript, to the back end, which used to be PHP, different tooling, different syntax because it's different languages. And even on a team, this can be a really big deal because, if you have kind of front end developers that only do front end, and then maybe one day you don't have anyone specifically to fix something in the backend API, or really what I'm trying to say here is that your developers should be fairly flexible to dive into certain pieces of a web application, whether it be the front end, the back end, or like DevOps, or perhaps even knowing just certain business aspects. So With Universal JavaScript, you're able to, dive into the backend, which is going to be the same language, so same t syntax, and same tooling as well. Things like, ESLint and same like unit testing frameworks. And this can allow you to have a smaller team that works on multiple things. Now, it's good to still specialize, of course, but you'll have a smaller team that can jump in between certain things. And that, of course, it's cheaper from a business perspective, but then it's also just allows those developers to work more quickly and switch between different systems like that. So I really like this concept of universal JavaScript, and it's great for anyone that's a developer and a business person or like entrepreneur who's trying to build the app and not have to like switch in their mind between two different languages, which can really slow you down because you have to reantiquate yourself and get used to like the new environment that you're in, and then you're like, oh, let me go fix something on the front end, and they just you have to kind of reset your brain every time you do that. All right, so what's this new framework that I've been using that's in JavaScript? So it's called Feathers, Feathers JS. It's built on top of Node.js, and there's a lot of things I like about it. So I wanted to find something similar to Laravel in terms of having something that allowed me to build an API very quickly. But I also didn't want it to get in my way when I wanted to do some custom functionality or something that the framework didn't really prepare for. So I first looked at Sales.js, and it seemed really good. I played around with it a little bit, but overall I found issues in terms of it being very bloated. It wasn't specific just for APIs. It was closer to Laravel in making it easier to build like monolithic applications, and it focused more on an MVC approach where you had like those views and models and such. But overall I found it to be kind of more bloated and more featureful compared to like something that I just want a lot simpler just for building APIs. So Feathers, what I like about it is that it's very lightweight. It's actually a thin layer on top of Express, and you can swap out Express if you want. You can use any kind of Node HTTP library, but yeah, it's a very thin layer on top of Express. And the way it works is through multiple, I get well, basically you have services, hooks, events, and then you have authentication built in, similar to Laravel, and you can set up your services to do anything. So I'll get into these in a bit, but some of the other features of Feathers is that it allows real time functionality. So if you have some type of data that's inserted on the back end, and then you want your front end to be notified of that immediately. So typically you'll have like a messaging application that might want to use real-time functionality. So if someone sends a message, it gets stored in the database. You don't want the front end to lag and wait, for the next time it like pulls or asks to see if there's a new message. Instead, the back end is able to right away send an event that says, hey, there's a new message. So whoever needs to see this, the front end can decide what to do with that. And so that's one pretty big feature, honestly, which I didn't think I would utilize right away, but I have started in this recent project that I'm working on. And Feather is very flexible, it's simple, and it also allows very easy client integration. So, once you build your API, typically you'll need a way to connect to it. And you'll use a Ajax library like Axios or just Fetch in the browser. But what's nice about Feathers is that it has a client library, so it's actually really takes on this approach of universal JavaScript very seriously, because it offers obviously a backend API framework, but then it also offers a client framework as well. So you can use a client framework to access your services the same way that you would on the backend. So if you need to send off a query and you need to find some data or create a new piece of data, you can do it with essentially the same syntax, which is really powerful, and I've definitely learned to love using it. So let's get into the different things within Feathers that it provides you. So first is services, and this is kind of sorry, something just popped up. So services are basically like the main core pieces of your application. In an API, you would consider this to be like your endpoints. So you'll access these services on like api.example.com/books. So books would be your service. You might have a user service or an authentication service. And the way these work is they give you CRUD operations. So you build these with different methods that allow you to create, read, update, and delete. And this is kind of the way that Feathers forces you to create your services so that they can then apply logic on top of that. So if you need pagination, that is very easily done. If you need a service just to be like a model for your database table, you can do that. So you can have like a user service, for example. And so if you need to query that service, it'll just, you say app.service users.find, and it'll find based on, well, first it'll just return all of your users in your database, but you can apply certain queries to it. It's like, I want this specific user ID, or where the name is this, and it'll just return those results. If you want to delete something, you just call delete with the ID, so on and so forth. And the powerful thing about services is that while Feathers forces you to write them in a certain way, they give you like these methods, essentially it's just a class, and you just add certain methods to it. They don't really force you to, like, in terms of what code you put in there. So it could connect to a database, it could connect to another API, like a third-party service. You could do some processing, some custom functionality, it doesn't really matter. And so Feathers kind of gets out of your way in terms of what you want to build your API for if you need some custom functionality. And in this app that I'm building, there's definitely a lot of custom functionality where I'm parsing certain pieces of data. And so services allow me to create services that are specific to my application and what kind of the business is trying to do there. The second big piece is hooks, and this is a way for you to hook into a service and do certain things either before the user accesses, or bef yeah, bef once a user accesses a service, it can do stuff before and after a result is returned. So stuff in before you might want to do things like validation. You might want to validate that you're allowed to access that service, or let's say it's a user service. Should you be able to access users that are not your own, or delete a user ID that's not you? So you might want to do some validation, some authorization there. And then in an after hook, you can modify the result, so modify the data before it's returned to the browser. This is really useful for, not or making sure that the password is not shown, in the API result. And that's kind of just the tip of the iceberg. You can do a lot of cool things with hooks. So, and honestly, like those, like services and hooks, that's really all you need for a full-featured API. And this is like a super quick way of building it because Feathers already adds functionality on top. And there's multiple libraries for, services that you can just pull in, or hooks that you can apply. This allows it to be very flexible, but also not having to reinvent the wheel on a lot of, common functionality. So chances are someone's already built like a mail service already that integrates with Mailgun or some other popular email service. And then of course you have events, which, I mean, it's just an event system, pub sub type of stuff. And there are some events already built in. So if you want to listen to when, a user is created, you would listen onto that service, the user service, and you listen to on the create event. There's multiple other events that are already built in that you can listen onto. But of course, you can publish your own events if you want to. Now, I already mentioned authentication a lot, and Feathers does have it built in, which is really nice. There are some things that I found that I had to kind of build manually, which is not something that I enjoy doing, especially after Laravel kind of already had it built in. However, because it's an API, Feathers does make it easy to do JSON Web Token authentication and social authentication. The thing that I kind of struggled with is doing the kind of annoying stuff with password resets, and like password changes, sending out emails when certain things happen. So if you're changing a password, it should notify you through email. And there's a library that I've been able to use. I think it's like Feathers Authentication or Authentication Management, something like that. But that API for that is kind of not as straightforward, I felt like, and I had to like integrate it into my API and make sure that everything was secure and worked the way it was supposed to. But overall, I got it working. So authentication definitely can get kind of social authentication, JSON Web Token, password resets, sending out emails and stuff in about a day. So the stuff is still pretty easy to work with. And yeah, and the last thing, like I already mentioned this, but you can set up your services to really do anything that you want. So yeah, Feathers, for the most part, it's been a really enjoyable experience, and I find that kind of moving forward, it's going to be a really good framework for building APIs. It's it's stable. They haven't really changed much between versions, which is good. And so if you're looking at certain tutorials, you can expect that that code should work in the latest version. There's a community around it, so I've been able to find, questions answered on Stack Overflow, find YouTube tutorials. There's even a Slack channel for it. So there's definitely enough help if you're trying to build an API and you're really, worried about like, okay, I want something that a framework that's popular enough where there's a community around it in case I need help, or in case I'm looking to find as many libraries as possible to make building the API quicker. So yeah, so and the idea of like this universal JavaScript with Feathers offering a client framework and just having that integration very very good between, or like seamless between the back end and the front end, is just really awesome, honestly. And I've really been enjoying just being able to use JavaScript on both, and the same tools for linting, unit testing, and just kind of the same syntax overall with writing modern ES6. So yeah, definitely check it out, feathersjs.com, I believe it is. Let me check that really quick. Yeah, so it's feathersjs.com, and their kind of thing when you go to the site says an open source REST and real-time API layer for modern applications, which is pretty descriptive of what it does. And it says also with Feathers, you can build prototypes in minutes and production-ready real-time backends and REST APIs in days. Seriously. I don't know if you can build a full API in a couple of days, but if it's fairly simple, and also, if you're not stuck with like learning Feathers, which doesn't really take you much, there's a learning curve to it, but once you get used to it, everything just really makes sense. But for very simple APIs, you can definitely build an API in a couple of days. So, depends on what you're doing. And I think that's pretty much it. So, and none of these are sponsors, by the way. Just these are the frameworks that I've been using, and I really enjoy using them. So let me know if you enjoy this episode. If you've used Feathers before, if you've used other frameworks, let me know what your experience has been with those. What you think of APIs, what you think about like this architecture of separating out your front end and your back end. Do you think that's the quickest way to build applications, or do you still prefer a monolithic approach with something like Laravel or Ruby on Rails, where you're not building an API, you're just building it all kind of mushed together. So you can call in if you want to answer any of those questions and give me feedback on the Anchor app. So find Sunny Commutes on there. You can download the Anchor app on your phone and do a call in or a comment on this episode. You can also tweet me at SunnySyncIO. I also post a video version of this podcast on YouTube, which you might be watching right now. If you are, definitely leave a comment. But you can find that on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/SunnySyncTV. And I think that is it. Thank you for listening and for watching, and I'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.